cities, countries, I mean, California, Oregon, but I'm looking at the map here, and it's, we see it in communities like Colorado, Kansas, Arkansas, Mississippi, all states that have actually passed either local or citywide resolutions about raising the age of tobacco to the age of 21.
And what's the benefit?
Well, the benefit, I would argue, is essentially at least twofold. First of all, we have to really look at the fact that although much is focused on individuals 18 and over, the reality is that at some level we're really trying to affect tobacco initiation practices of younger people. You know, so this, you know, so this, the statistics indicate that 96% of individuals initiate tobacco usage before the age of 21 and 88% before the age of 18. You look at the fact that right now it's estimated that 480,000 individuals die prematurely of tobacco-related illnesses, and 40 million individuals smoke. So if you can positively impact youth and prevent them from initiating smoking, then all the data suggests that the likelihood of them taking up tobacco products after the age of 21 is limited significantly. Something that needs to be understood is that we know right now that students or young people under the age of 18 can't purchase tobacco. We've done a lot to restrict their access. But what we're concerned about is what's called social sourcing. So the reality is that the majority of youth who are smoking right now are getting tobacco from those peers, those high school classmates, those older sibs who are 18 plus.
It's kind of a black market.
Yeah, it's estimated that two-thirds of youth who are smoking are getting their cigarettes from older adolescents, teenagers. And so, yes, so much of the focus in the criticism of the legislation is that we're telling kids, telling young people who can vote, can marry, can enlist, that they can't smoke. I will argue that a significant piece of this legislation is focusing on those youth under the age of 18. Now, that said, we also want to positively impact those individuals between the ages of 18 and 20. And again, the research has suggested while there are, yes, they are able to make decisions, and they are able to, again, have the same cognitive capacity as adults, the reality is that their decision-making is not the same. And all the studies in behavioral science and the neuroscience suggest that, yes, they may be able to make decisions, but they are more susceptible to issues around impulse control, to persuasion by peers. And so again, although looked upon as paternalistic, I would argue from a public health standpoint that if I can prevent those individuals from going the direction of taking an adverse, unhealthy behavior, because maybe they're not thinking all the way through, then I think that's the right thing to do.
Is this something the legislature's taken up in the past? And obviously it hasn't passed yet. But
yeah, they've looked at it. And again, the issue oftentimes is, again, as I mentioned to you previously, about telling someone, being paternalistic, but there's also concerns about revenue loss. I mean, unfortunately, it does come down to there's money being made. And this is a significant revenue stream. So if I bump up the age to 21, then it's been argued that we're losing a revenue stream, not only for the state, taxes, but also for the retailer. Because again, that's a very interesting population that are using tobacco products quite extensively. So again, there is a money, economics piece in there that's been why it's been successfully sort of pushed back in the past.